Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
We're going to axe the carbon tax, which will lower the cost of industrial production. It'll make our farms, factories, fisheries, and forestry all more competitive when the energy costs are down. Affordable, abundant energy is the pillar of economic growth.
Yesterday, Mr. Polyev was in New Brunswick. He was on a backcountry road, and the signal was so poor that we stopped the interview. We said we'd resume it today, which gave me an opportunity to ask Mr. Polyev about David Eby, British Columbia's premier, saying that what Polyev is saying about the carbon tax is from the baloney factory. And Mr. Polyev's response was, maybe you can find it, Tom.
Well, his constituents can't even afford to buy baloney.
As soon as I saw that line from David Eby, it's the baloney factory. I thought, you should never say that, because the first thing I'm going to come back with, if you're pointing at me, is probably that your constituents can't afford baloney. Okay, Globe and Mail headline, more economists are getting deeply worried about Canada's future, and investors are taking notice. Earlier this month, Scotiabank's head of capital markets economics, Derek Holt, wrote, quote, "I'm deeply worried about public policy in my country," end quote. Over the last weekend, BMO chief economist Doug Porter and National Bank strategist Stéphane Marion joined the grim chorus. And then there's the OECD, which projects Canada's economic performance this decade, so through to 2030, and then through from 2030 to 2060, will be dead last among advanced nations. Meanwhile, as I said, and we've talked about so many times, among us, ourselves, and with Premiers Moe and Smith, we have what the world needs and is willing to purchase, namely natural resources such as oil and natural gas. And that makes me a really bad guy with some people, because I'm promoting that Canada should sell ethically produced oil and natural gas that the world is going to use anyway. So why don't we sell it? Maybe the Americans want to have an exclusive North American outlet, don't want us involved. Politics is a dirty game. But we had options. I'm not so sure how many we have now because of the regulatory issues that are in place, but Mr. Polyev also told us that he would take care of and get rid of a lot of the regulatory impediments to creating an export reality for oil and natural gas. You can do that, and you can pass it through Parliament. I didn't really have the time to get into it with him. But many of those initiatives, even if he gets them through Parliament, will be challenged, will go to court, and potentially to the Supreme Court of Canada, and that could take years. Professor Eric Kam is with us, our good friend, professor of macroeconomics at Toronto Metropolitan University. Professor Kam has been very direct about the condition of the economy of this country, very direct of where we stand, and unwaveringly challenging of the status quo. Professor, how are you?
I'm doing okay, Roy. I have to jump in and say something. It's so funny. Sometimes you just say things that hit so close to home. My 10-year-old is coming home from his March break vacation on Monday, and I went out today to buy bologna, because it's his favorite thing to put between two pieces of bread. And so help me God, I stood there looking dumbfounded at the grocery store going, that's how much a package of bologna is? I mean, this is pretty much, you know, bargain basement lunch meat, probably one or two ingredients. And this is what they're asking for, a thing of bologna? It's so funny you said it, because I think it's so representative of what's going on right now at the grocery stores.
I had the same sort of experience. I was in the grocery store I frequent, and I wanted to buy some kielbasa. Because occasionally I like to eat kielbasa. I looked at the price of this little piece of sausage, and I said, you got to be kidding. Not going to happen. And I just kept on walking. Not that I can't afford it, but I looked at it and said, I'm not paying that.
If you and I can't afford some things at the grocery store, or even if it just causes us pause on something like bologna or kielbasa, what do you do if you're that average Canadian that is close to insolvency? What are you eating? What are you dressing your children in? How are you paying your rent? I mean, this is becoming so circular and almost, I hate to say the word, but almost boring that you and I get together and we bemoan three certain facts that just are not changing over time. Our public sector is growing. Our private sector is shrinking. The government thinks immigration is a sound growth strategy. And from where this economist sits, it's three strikes, we're out, Roy.
I've been reading a brief email that I received from a listener. I tried to get the listener to come on the air. I sent him two emails. He didn't reply. So I'm calling him George. That's not his real name, but here's what he wrote. And he addressed this, by the way, Professor, to Jagmeet Singh, to Justin Trudeau, to Stephen Gilbo, Chrystia Freeland, and copied Pierre Poilievre and me. Honorable members, I've reached out many times before, but now we're pretty much caved in financially, even after I've been working almost 60 hours overtime a month just to keep my family warm this winter and eat $1 noodle cups. Stop the attack on the lower and middle class. Just stop it, please. I thought that Jagmeet was the voice in support of the working class. No longer. Please stop, stop, stop driving us into oblivion. Learn what it means to pump a tank of gas and go to a grocery store. You are horrible custodians of our country and you should all be fired. Scrap the carbon tax on home heating everywhere. Absolutely disgusting. No sense of reality for everyday Canadians. That's the email.
You know what, Roy? Well, his real name is, he's entitled to his privacy, but mine's Eric Cam and I'm not hard to find. And I think that that is sage wisdom right there in a letter. I mean, no matter what macroeconomic variable we're looking at right now, there are just some things that are not deniable, things that the government cannot massage. And one of them, domestic productivity, as you mentioned, that is output per worker. That is the strength of our economy per person going to work. And it's fallen for the third annual consecutive year. And that's the first time that's happened in 40 years. So simply put, a country's ability to improve its standard of living over time depends entirely on its ability to raise output per worker. And now we're in our third, going into our fourth straight year that that number has fallen. And I think that that letter is actually very correct. I don't think Mr. Singh gives a damn about the average Canadian. I know our prime minister doesn't. And before somebody jumps in and says, well, how do you know that? You don't know the prime minister. All I can take is the evidence that I see in our country right now. I see just about every single macroeconomic variable at zero or trending down. I see still half of our mortgages need to be renegotiated at rates that were first negotiated around 1% to 2%. They're going to be now between 7% and 8%. I still see grocery store prices up around 23% from where they were during the pandemic. I mean, how much evidence does a government need to finally have somebody cry uncle and realize that Canadians need help? But this government is tone deaf. They are full speed ahead on their net zero green agenda, and it's befuddling to all economists. And now you see it's just becoming befuddling to all Canadians who are looking at elected people going, we elected you to help us. You're hurting us. Stop the madness, Roy.
And interestingly, one of our callers after our Pierre Poilievre interview pointed out that not only will the carbon tax rise on April the 1st, but MPs will all receive a raise.
Sure, because that's the way that this government rolls. I mean, let's bring in some more numbers to discuss our declining competitiveness. How about portfolio investment? Simple topic, right? Investing in our country. In 2023, we now have numbers. Canadians bought $53 billion in foreign securities. Foreign investors bought $32 billion of Canadian securities. That's the smallest number in 16 years. So what does that say in plain and simple English? It means the rest of the world are skeptical and tired of investing in a country that is a net loser. I mean, you know, again, and I'm so sad. I don't say this to hear the sound of my own voice or to scare people, but it's just time that we start doing something to help our nation. Put some growth drivers in place, increase our disposable income. Can we please do something other than bring in things like dental care and pharmacare that are frankly good ideas in the right economic environment, horrific ideas in this type of economic environment. You can't do these things, which are so expensive, to the tune of more billions of dollars going out, Roy, unless the economy is booming. Our economy is not booming. Our economy is trending down. And it's time that we reverse the trend and start to follow. I know we're afraid of following the United States, Roy, but they did it after the pandemic, and now their economy is rising, slowly, but rising. Well, guess what? We're going down, and we're not going down slowly. We're going down steeply, and someone's got to stop the madness.
So to the younger generation that is going to have to live with the fact of our declining economic output, with the declining economic reality, according to the OECD, again, Canada being the last among developing or developed nations as far as success, economic success is concerned, until 2060. What's the prognostication? What's the view look like for young people about to begin a career?
It's actually really simple, and I can sum it up in one word: fear. Students are scared. I hear from my students all the time, Roy, that they are scared. And while I can list you many things, points of interest that I have, there is only, for me, a small silver lining, and it's very small, and it may not even be silver. But that if you look at the statistics of economic growth and countries that thrive since about 1900, one of the indisputable facts is that educated economies are growth economies. And so in one sense, it's easy for me right now to tell my students that if you want to live in a country that's going to thrive, one of the foundations is an educated workforce, and actually specifically a female educated workforce. If you look around at the world, countries that educate women are the strongest economic countries. And so I do have that in my back pocket. But to your point, they're terrified. They're terrified of the price of renting. When they've heard stories from parents and grandparents that renting used to be what you did to save for a home. Roy, now that's a pipe dream unless you have some family wealth behind you. So we're telling our students now that they're going to have to be mobile, and they're going to have to look around at centers of growth or potential growth if where you're living now isn't one of them. You may have to be willing to live outside an urban center. You know that you're going to have to probably live at home longer with your parents before home ownership. And I think most sadly for me, when students ask me on this topic of what scares them, will I match my parents' economic quality of life? On average right now, Roy, the answer is no. And so what I tell my students is, beside please study, because that is one tried and true way of success, the other one is to be loud and be informed and use your education and think about it when you step into a voter's booth, and be able to discern what is baloney from what is substantive. And I just wish that our public sector right now would take a lead in that model and showing that to our students. But unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I think the younger people are going to have to show the public sector how to do their jobs before they get voted out of doing their jobs, Roy.
In the 60 seconds we have, what's the absolutely essential thing that has to take place in order for our economy to even approach positive and stable footing?
Two things. Number one, we need to reduce taxes to increase disposable income. I would have said it's time to get our energy sector up and running, but sadly, Roy, it's probably with this government too little too late. And it's not going to happen. I don't dream that big. So I do dream about a world where they reduce taxes and people have more money to spend. Number two, dear public sector, you don't do things well. You are inefficient. You are poor at running businesses as anything I've ever seen. Get out of business. Get out of healthcare. Get out of dental care. Get out of pharma care and turn things back to the private sector. The private sector isn't perfect, Roy, but it's better than the public sector. If you want to build highways, you go ahead. But please, please, public sector, get out of the business of business. You do it poorly and you're killing our nation.
Professor, I had a conversation with somebody the other day about healthcare. And I made the point about, as you just did, about private healthcare. And I got the big lecture about how terrible private health care could possibly be. And I said, do you ever pay attention to what's going on? People are dying in emergency rooms while they're waiting for health care. 5.6 million Canadians have no family doctor. Do you even pay attention to any of this? And that's where the conversation ended, because the person I was speaking with hung up. I want to play something for you. Okay, play it.
And long live freedom, damn it.
The president of Argentina at the World Economic Forum. Long live freedom, damn it. Professor Cam, always a pleasure, always an honor. Thank you so much.
The honor is all mine, Roy. Stay healthy, please.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.